And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. I want to give a very special mention to a lady listening into us this morning in O'Connor's Bar in Salt Hill, and that indeed is Mary O'Connor. Hello, Mary. You're very welcome onto the programme today, and thank you for listening to us. And all regards to you comes in from Frank and Tom here in O'Connor's Bar as well. And there's some lovely comments coming in as well to 086 38 33 553. This listener says, good morning. Does anyone remember the Beach Hotel in Salt Hill? It was owned by the Tracy family. I worked there and it was such a lovely place. And another listener says, a very interesting history of Salt Hill by Tom Kenny. That comes in from Tommy Roddy. And if you want to get your texts and WhatsApps in, do so straight away. Now, though, sea swimming is a very big thing in Salt Hill, although I might get crucified for saying that by our next two guests, because I'm delighted to say I'm joined here in O'Connor's Bar by Mary Reardon and Maura O'Neill. And Mary, I might start with you first. Talk to me about where the sea swimming and all this, I suppose, association with Salt Hill started for you.
Well, I suppose I was born and raised in Galway and Taylor Sill of all places. But anyway, so Salt Hill would have been kind of our home from home. That's where you spent every summer, where it was free exercise, free food, never. And you got to swim. And I suppose the memories are always that you went to the Bon Bon, got yourself a bucket of spade if you're lucky enough to get it, get a 99 and then spend the day at the sea. And then as you got older, well, for me anyway, you daredeviled in Black Rock. Oh my God, because there was no Leisureland back then. And you took on the boards. Very exciting. And then you might see a lifeguard and run for the hills so that you don't do anything bold. Not that I ever would have, John, back then. No.
And outside of the swimming, I know you have great memories of the likes of Sea Point and all the big X that were there.
Yeah, Sea Point was, I suppose, the hangar was there beforehand. And my mother's time, I was going to say, because obviously I'm still only 25 in my head. I can hear the snigger, but anyway. Yeah, Sea Point was the place to go to, and O'Connor's, God bless us, was the place to go to for a good pint and a bit of music and a bit of bingo and, of course, rolling or skating with Jerry Traynor and the like at the time. I think even Keith Finnegan did a bit of DJing at the roller skating back then. So they were very good memories, I have to be honest, of Salt Hill and out and about.
We're also joined by Maura O'Neill. Maura, you're very welcome onto the programme today.
Thanks for having me.
You're from Kildare originally. How did the move to Galway happen and then the love affair with Salt Hill?
Oh, well, basically, I'm a nurse and I had been working overseas and in Dublin, but I kind of got into education and I had to do a course for 1 year and I came to Galway and I loved it, and I'd known it was my happy place and I chose to come here. I just said it'd be lovely to just spend 1 year by the sea. And my memories were of coming to Galway on holidays and being on the prom and going, you know, it was all so magical. And I used to go into where Centre is now and it was very posh. And I remember you could get ice cream in there. Stuff like that. Very happy memories. It was kind of like the happy place. And then I stayed. I didn't go home. I'm a blow-in. And so I've been here a good few years. And Mary and I kind of worked together. We worked for the ETB. And she swam. And we just sort of, during COVID, I got really into the sea swimming. But also just lovely walking on the prom and great memories. Love Salt Hill.
And before you moved over, I know you met a crowd of Salt Hill fellas at the Galway races.
Oh, yes. I was with some buddies, and sure, you know yourself. And we came out to Salt Hill, and at the time, right by the Bon Bon, there was like kind of little amusement things and stuff like that. And we were just sort of having a drink outside Lonergan's or one of those Puck Hill-Lawrence maybe. And sure, I didn't know what, you know, it was lovely, beautiful sunny day. And I, you know, we got chatting to a few guys and they were like, I said, I used to come here on holidays and we'd go to Leisureland. And they were mesmerised by this. I said, would you? Because my father, I think, put a spin on things and called it Leisureland. We thought it was the height of luxury with the slides and the pool and all the rest. It was brilliant. Yes.
I'm sure they've forgiven you by now, but
hopefully.
Are very involved with the swimming in the sea. I'm not going to call you sea swimmers because Mary might
thank you very much for
she
that,
might
John,
take the head off
I'll
me.
Take the head
yes.
off you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the correct terminology.
Why not sea swimmers?
I think during COVID, as Maura said, we got very posh. When we were young, you just flung yourself in the sea, and if you're lucky enough to bring a towel, that was fabulous. But now that it has become very trendy and on form, you have buckets, I think. Would we call them buckets, Maura?
Oh, yeah, the big buckets, yeah.
With the jackets. I don't even know what those jackets are called.
And the boots.
You have the jackets, gloves. The boots, the gloves, the tea, the coffee, the...
hot water
bottles. It's a day out when you bring all this stuff. So people who don't sea swim, who swim in the sea, bring a swim hat if you're lucky. And
the whole suit as well.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
Flip-flops.
No, sea swimmers do that. People who swim in the sea don't.
Okay.
We just bring the basics, which is our
swim. Mary has trained me. I've divested myself of the boots and the gloves. And it's much easier because they get all wet and soggy and they're in the house and they're smelly. Now I just, Mary has me trained to jump in my togs with just the hat. But I don't stay in. I'm a tea bag. In, out, but I love it. I feel great after it.
Do you marinate, Mary, or do you...
I like to make sure that I'm well used of that free wash that I don't have to go home and have a shower. I mean, where else would you get a good 15 minutes of free washing and bathing? I mean, an exercise. Come on.
And
we don't need anything else.
Do you slowly let yourselves in or do you jump off the diving tower or what's the approach?
No, we scream and say, this is Turkey! This is the Bahamas! Because it's freezing and it's Baltic and we're delusional. And I think most of us are a bit cracked in the head that do it most days of the year, all year round. Think about
it. I count.
It's mad.
I'm not as hardy as the West of Ireland native people. So I count. I kind of go, like I count up to 7 slowly. And sometimes I get to 5 and I go back to 3 and then I go to the fractions if it's very cold. But I get in eventually. Everyone has tricks. Everyone.
But there's a big crew of you that do it. How did it all come about?
Yeah, it's lovely.
As Maura said, I think definitely COVID because people had more time and people relaxed.
Mm.
I mean, for me, I know swimming was definitely an arduous task initially because there was a man called Jimmy Cranny, God bless him, who... took it upon himself with brother Michael Crowe back in the days. We won't say that it was very late 60s, but anyway, who would knock on your door and bring you down to, of all places, Black Rock. And you literally got, we'll say you jumped in, but you probably got flung in and you swam. Mm. And then as you got a bit older, they put Vaseline on you. Imagine being covered in Vaseline, John. I know it's everybody's joy, but maybe not mine. But then as you got older, you got a bit more sense and you moved from Black Rock to Ladies Beach, and as we call it, Crab Beach, but I know that's not the official title of the main beach. But and people started walking and seeing crazy women screaming and thought, do you know, we could join them. And then out came these, what are those coats that people wear?
Oh yeah, yeah, the dry robes.
The dry robes became, I didn't know what they were, but I thought there was these strange women coming down to the beach with these robes.
Do you think they had a hole in their towel or something like that?
Oh, and that as well, I went, what are these people? Yeah. So I go to make friends with them because obviously if they can afford 200 quid in a jacket, that is somebody I need to meet. So we all became very good friends and we celebrated people's birthdays over COVID down there because you had space.
Mm.
And that's where it all grew out of.
And Christmas.
And Christmases.
There's Christmas carols. There was big birthday parties. For people.
It became an extended family.
It was lovely.
And that's what we all call ourselves, beach wives. Because we invariably always go down as a pack, look out for each other, and then possibly go over for a beverage, possibly afterwards. Not that I would know what a beverage is, apart from tea.
I know you love the wildlife and the scenery and all that aspect of Salt Hill as well. It's beautiful down there.
It's the only place to be. I would love to have that house that's going to be on Home of the Year, apart from the fact that it's shaped as a crown. But could you imagine the view from the top of that house overlooking the bay? And as the nights change, especially coming into the summertime, and the birds are singing, you can look at the dolphins coming out. Where else would you live?
And I know yourself, Maura, darkness into light in Salt Hill, that's something you really love and enjoy.
See, Mary has been doing that for so long, and she's very involved in it too. And she said one year, about 3 years ago, Maura, do you feel like coming? And actually, Annette, this gorgeous pal of mine, she's an Estonian girl, actually, and she moved over to the UK. She's had to... But great girl. And we did it, didn't we, a few years
ago? We did.
And it was, I was never, like, you know these people who get up and it's dark and they're throwing their, I mean, that's nuts to me. It's just like, no. But I get in when it's about 11 and things have thawed down a bit. But anyway, we did do it. And it was just electric, the atmosphere. Mary's so used to it. But to me, it was magical. I mean, all the as you were saying, as you go towards the long walk and all the wonderful lighting, and just as we got to ladies, we all, it was just gorgeous to jump, and it wasn't that cold, surprisingly. Like, the temperature of the sea doesn't change that much. And magically, these dolphins appeared, didn't they?
Yeah, there was three of them.
And you were saying they come in every March.
We started a few years ago with one male, but obviously males like to have a bit of company.
Yeah.
Following year, he brought a little girlie. And now we have three of them.
Was it Nemo? Nemo, wasn't it?
It comes in at the farthest pier in the Claddagh.
Yeah.
So we start with one, and then he brought his little buddy over.
Yeah.
And now there were three buddies last year. So
wow.
When you do the Dartons into Light swim, Peter Connolly and the lads come out in the boats. They throw out some fish, and the dolphins just appear, and it is the most magical thing.
It's gorgeous.
And especially when you go, literally go from Black Rock, well, Leisureland down to Black Rock and around by the Long Walk. It is the most, there's nothing like Salt Hill.
Mm.
Like, I may be in my 60s now, but dear God, from when I was very young to now, it doesn't change, because people are friendly. You still have O'Connor's, which is still the place to go. You still had Doc's Place, God bless us, when it was there. So it's just, it may evolve in certain ways, but the people themselves are still as friendly today as they were in the early 60s. Mm. There's no doubt.
Galway's very welcoming, you know. It is to everyone. I mean, that's what I just, like, you'd go into the shops and people would smile at you.
Yeah, they'd all say hello.
And, you know, they'd engage with you. And, you know, it was just a lovely atmosphere, you know. It's a nice, yeah. I do think that, I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, there is something magical. People say, oh God, the only place we'd have a weekend away is in Galway. And you can see why. Because anyone who walks down, everybody asks them, where are you from? What are you doing? This is where you should be.
Yeah.
And if you want recommendations, we will tell you where to go for a pint or where to go for some food.
Mm.
Which, I don't know, do you get that in every city? I just don't think you would.
Absolutely. And what are the plans now for St. Patrick's weekend? Will you be swimming many days on the beach?
We'll fit in a few days.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. That's all.
That's all?
That's all. Yeah. And go with the tide maybe this time more, so that we don't have to walk out as far.
No. Today was way out.
Yeah.
Well, long may you continue. Mary Reardon and Maura O'Neill, thank you for joining us on Community Matters.
And thanks for having us,
John.
Well, weren't they a bit of fun? Still to come on the programme today, we have Martina Goggins from the Circle of Life Garden. We'll have our Cheltenham preview for the Gold Cup Day and lots more between now and 12 midday.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission na Meán.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. Keep your texts and WhatsApps coming in to 086-3833-553. You can phone Fiona on reception at 0917-00077. Email comments at goibayfm.ie. Now, though, I'm delighted to say I'm joined in O'Connor's Bar in Salt Hill by Martina Goggin. Martina, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for joining us this morning. For those who might not know of you, talk to us about your association with Salt Hill and the Garden of Life.
Okay, well, I'm originally a Limerick woman living in Spittal now, and how we got involved with with Salt Hill, I suppose, was in 2014 we created the Circle of Life. My husband Dennis and I created the Circle of Life garden in Salt Hill, and the purpose for this and the reason behind it was we became involved with the organ donation community in 2006 when our son Eamon died in a car crash.
Mm-hmm.
And his organs were donated for transplantation. And that we saw the benefit to us as a donor family at that time when Eamon died, the benefit to us of having something to feel positive about at a time when it was absolute darkness. And we decided at that time it was important that the importance of organ donation and the benefit of organ donation to the donor family should be pushed out there so that people would understand it and know it. Because everybody knows when a recipient receives a transplant, you know, they are getting a second chance at life. But a donor family does benefit from the organ donation of their loved ones' organs.
Mm.
So we decided to do that, and we set up a charity called Strange Boat Donor Foundation, and we set up a dedicated website to promote organ donation and to support donor families particularly. But then my husband had the idea, wouldn't it be lovely to have a special space for the organ donation community? And I suppose, cutting a long story short, we tried all sorts of different places to get this space. And eventually, when we spoke to Galway City Council again after long negotiations, they agreed to license part of the quincentennial park in Salt Hill to us to create this garden. And that garden is now there since 2014, and we're celebrating its 10th anniversary this year.
It's amazing. And I suppose Salt Hill, you couldn't have picked much a better place for it in terms of the location in the country, in the middle of the country, from north to south, and just the beauty of it as well.
Exactly, John. That was one of the things. We, because it's a national garden, we started to think of Dublin initially. We thought everything has to be in Dublin. We thought, why Dublin? And it was only literally one day walking on the prom in Salt Hill, I thought, why are we not talking about Salt Hill? Why are we not talking to Galway City Council? And then that's how we got the space, and it was wonderful that City Council came on board with us. We obviously had to, it was at a hard time, you know, there wasn't much money to be got from sponsors, but we did get it eventually. Galway City Council came on board, Chicago's sister cities, through the contact we had with Billy Lawless. They came on board with funding, and we got money every which way, including the Water Boys doing two concerts for us in Spittal, which raised quite a lot of money. So we raised money, we created the garden, and what we wanted was that the garden would be, that it would be a welcoming place for everybody, not just the organ donation community, which of course it is. It's a very comforting place for them, and it's a place of thanksgiving for organ recipients. But we wanted it to be a place for everybody, a place of reflection, a place of peace and calm from the busy life that people live. And that seems to be what has actually transpired.
And it's lovely and sheltered as well. So if it is windswept on the prom, you can just get into the cover of the Circle of Life garden.
Exactly. And a lot of people in Galway say they've never been in there, because they see the sign, but they don't exactly know what it is. And because it is, as people have said in the TripAdvisor comments that are made, they say, we found this hidden gem inside the big wall beside the two hotels. And that's kind of, in a way, the way it is. But I think when people come in, they do find the welcome, because we have a stone from each county, from a heritage site in each county. In the garden, we have a stone from each continent in the garden, from a kind of a special site of importance in each continent, like from Ellis Island and from the Gouchecourt Hospital in Cape Town, where the first heart transplant took place. So we have tried to make it as inviting and welcoming and universal as possible. And I think that has made a difference to the way the garden is perceived.
It's amazing how things work out as well, because I know yesterday was World Kidney Day. We actually had Dave Hickey on the programme yesterday, and he commended the garden as well.
Yeah, David has been a wonderful support to us from the very beginning, when after Eamon's death and his organ donating, we got to know David, and he has just been totally supportive from the very beginning when we talked about this mad idea of creating a garden, like totally probably naively. David said, go for it, just go for it, you'll do it. And it was kind of comments like that helped us along. But as I mentioned, it's our 10th anniversary this year, so we're having an event in the garden on the 27th of April, Saturday the 27th of April, and David will be down, and there'll be different people, our own mayor will be there, and transplant recipients and organ donor families will be there from all around the country. So it'll be a big event. And one of the things I really must say is I must commend our volunteers. We have a mehel of local volunteers from around the Rockbarton area and generally coming in every Friday morning, which is where I'll be going now up to do a little bit of work. They're there every Friday morning, maintaining the garden, keeping it, and it's just made such a difference. We also have the community employment scheme have given us some help. So all of that has made it possible for us to keep the garden going and to keep it pristine, as we like to feel it is.
Yeah, and it's in a beautiful location. Unfortunately, there was vandalism there on one or two occasions, but people rode in behind it and replanted it.
Yeah, well, what happened before we took over the garden at the very beginning, it was kind of the park itself had become kind of derelict, really. There wasn't anybody going in there. When we came in, we set it up, nothing happened. And then last year, it just was a very strange thing that happened. There were certain plants being stolen. We were doing a lot of new planting. And plants were being stolen.
Yeah.
They'd be hardly in, and 2 days later they were gone. So we found this very hard to take because it just didn't seem to fit with the nature of the garden.
Yeah.
But I think it stopped because I think people generally felt that this was totally wrong and unnecessary, and whoever was taking them really should stop, and they did. So we're very pleased about that.
On the positive though, you mentioned the 10-year celebration. What's the lineup like for that, or what's going to be happening?
Well, what will be happening, we'll have, as I say, the mayor will be there. He'll be obviously the civic guest, our special guest. We'll have people, we'll have somebody from the organ donation community, or the organ donation ODTI, which is the statutory body dealing with organ donation. He'll be there talking about the importance of organ donation, but also about the new legislation coming in.
Yeah.
We'll have kidney recipients, we'll have heart transplant people, we'll have the Galway Baytones are going to sing a few songs for us, and Eleanor Shanley will also sing for us. So it should be, we just want to mark the day. It's not that it's a huge celebration as such, but we want to mark the day because it's an important milestone for the garden.
Brilliant, and very important for donor families and indeed recipients of organs as well. And thanks for your work for the communities as well, Martina. I think it doesn't go unnoticed by a lot of people.
Well, that's lovely to hear, John. Thanks very much. Well, it was a labour of love, and it's great that it's received that way.
Martina Goggin, thank you for joining us on Community Matters. Still to come on the programme today, before 11 o'clock we'll have our Cheltenham preview for the day of action at the Gold Cup, and we're also going to be speaking with our very own Doc about Warwick Days. All that plus lots more still to come on Community Matters.
Kern Galway BFM and Shrack Community Matters a Lougher Lemwinu O'Commission Union.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back into today's programme. From O'Connor's Bar, we go back to base because it's day four of the Cheltenham Racing Festival. I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by our racing correspondent, George McDonough, and also by Brian O'Keefe of Boyle Sport. George, to you first, though, because yesterday there was a serious lack of winners among the Irish.
There was, but we had two. But we kind of dominate the English handicapper and made sure that we didn't really feature in many of the hurdle handicaps. The first five or six home in the Pertemps final were all British, which is not normally the case. But we did hit back in the very last race when we seen Galway's own Derek O'Connor give probably one of the most masterful rides we've seen in Cheltenham in at least 15 to 20 years. I know the way you're thinking. Jumped off handy in the last race, was backed as if defeat was out of the question. He's a lot better than a 1-4-5 horse. Everybody knows that now. But to see Derek O'Connor drop back to last and then creep one by one, tick off all the boxes. And as Brian O'Keefe will no doubt join me in congratulating Derek O'Connor, beautiful music to those punters who forced him all the way from an antipost price of 10 and 12 to 1 to 13 to 8 favourite, and winning with his head on his chest must have brought a cheer to the bookmakers as well, Brian.
How's it looking for the bookkeepers, Brian, from yesterday? Well, we'll come back to Brian. George, what's your preview of the action today on day four of the Cheltenham Racing Festival?
Cheltenham Gold Cup, John, the blue riband of racing, and Galloping de Champ attempts to become yet another dual winner of the Cheltenham Gold Cup, emulating the likes of Best Mate, the likes of Les Cargo, the likes of, we go back to Arkell, we go to more recent times, Album Photo, who won back-to-back Gold Cups, Coat of Star won two, but there was a year in between. Can he do it? At even money, I wouldn't be backing him. The rain that has fallen will certainly be to his aid. It will be negated against the chances of the horse. I thought my turn of the tables would give him fast or slow. I wouldn't be as confident on today's ground. If somebody offered me a free bet, I wouldn't have an interest in the race financially. If somebody offered me a free bet, I probably would back Corrick Grambler, the Grand National winner, each way. I just think he could creep into a place. Hewick, of course, the talking horse, the Galway, the Boyle Sports sponsored stable of John Hanlon, is an absentee due to the ground. It's a wide open Gold Cup outside of the favourite, yes, he could win at even money, but I think that the race for places will see a couple of shocks. Mouse Morris is another Galway man, gentleman's game. If I just Corrick Rambler for me each way, I do like the chances though in the last race. We all know, John, about social media, and we all know these fantasy in the papers which says the Waterford Whispers. Well, there's a horse called Waterford Whispers.
Definitely.
Running in the final race.
Now let's have a look at our charity bet for today, George, because I know it's Guide Dogs for the Blind, a very worthy cause.
Yes, it is, John, and I'm going to punt for, and I'm looking for Brian O'Keefe to give me 5-1. I'm going to have a straight €100 win. It's a very tough race. €100 to win on Waterford Whispers in the final race today. It's a well-known fictional article in the newspaper, the Waterford Whispers paper, but I think this horse has a massive chance. Won a maiden hurdle in Galway, went on and won a conditions race at Fairy House, and then was eye-catchingly second, I thought, when not given a hard time in the finish at Leopardstown at Christmas. I was there to see it, and he went into my notebook, and I think this could be the day for Waterford Whispers to deliver for Limerick's JP McManus, Waterford's Michael O'Connor, and the Galway Guide Dogs for the Blind. So a good spread geographically, John.
Yeah, Brian, what do we think?
Yeah, 5-1 is absolutely no problem for George. Another great cause, and Henry de Bromhead is flying this week. Let's hope we finish off the week with a win.
Brilliant. And Brian, what was it like for the bookmakers yesterday?
Yeah, we finally had some reprieve from 2 days of bad results yesterday, so that one swung in our favour. So I think the punters are still 2-1 up, but it's all to play for today again. But JP McManus could have us running for cover, I think.
And what's the movement looking like today ahead of the races?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Some big gambles going on, including George's selection, Waterford Whispers. But again, we'll boost that one from 7-2 for 5. Gold Cup market, it's all about gallop to the shop. So again, I think it's in the lap of the gods, the Bookie State.
Brilliant. Well, George McDonough, our racing correspondent, and Brian O'Keefe of Boyle Sport, thank you both for joining us on the programme today. Just some more texts and WhatsApps coming in to us this morning. And this one says, good morning to ye. Brilliant show. I worked for 11 years in O'Connor's. And good morning to Mary, Tom and Frank, listening in from Atlanta, Georgia. Grew up on Daly's Fort Road, and it's the best place in the world to grow up. Love and miss home every day. Good morning to everyone. And also, hello, I remember my late dad, Sean Colleran, taking us up to the Beach Hotel when we were kids, and when we had visitors from America, he would take us up to the slots in Sea Point as well. And they keep on coming in this morning. Some lovely memories coming in on our text and WhatsApp lines as well. And also, hello to Sally and Rosanna working in Dolores Hair Fashions in Salt Hill. Big thank you from all their Mayo customers comes in this morning as well. It's not a Mayo Galway links here in Salt Hill, it would seem. We start with Anthony Finnerty, and it's kept going throughout the programme as well. Now, though, I want to move on this morning because we're going to have a look at the big heyday in Salt Hill when it comes to nightclubs and hotels, because I'm delighted to say I'm joined in O'Connor's Bar in Salt Hill by our very own Doc, Dermot O'Connor. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm not too bad. The nightclub scene in Salt Hill, it's stuff of legends.
It is. Indeed it was. It's funny how it all started, because many years ago, there was only one nightclub in the Sea Centre, and that was Fagan's Nightclub, under what was then the Great Southern Hotel, where Mary Bennett worked.
Yeah.
I don't think Mary actually worked in the nightclub, but yeah, so Salt Hill was the scene. Salt Hill, a big tourist area in the 1960s, 70s. Singing bars had come in, O'Connor's Singing Bar, where we are this morning. I think it was one of the first singing bars in the West. And then things moved on a little bit. We had Sea Point, we had the ballroom scene, and then nightclubs, discos, started off. My memories with the early ones would be places like San Fran Disco, which was the Burnmount in Salt Hill. So you had places like that, Francis O'Hoo, they were the early ones. Then you had legendary DJs. Actually, Keith had him on air there a couple of years ago. Chris Williams, who did Twigs Nightclub in the Eglinton. Mm-hmm. We had Ireland's first and biggest laser disco, which, believe it or not, is actually right behind where you're sitting this morning.
Wow.
Yeah, CJ's. Tom and Frank's father and uncle Benny and Niels O'Connor built CJ's Nightclub, and a fantastic building. And the most, without doubt, at the time, probably the most fire and health compliant building nightclub in Ireland, because it was the first nightclub built after the Stardust.
Yes.
So at that stage, you know, regulations had come in, and but it was a huge success. They did a lot of great bands there, and Paddy King, a legendary DJ, and they had lasers. Nobody in the West of Ireland had ever seen a laser disco before. So with places like that, there were so many nightclubs. At one stage there was 11. We've done this before. We'd asked people actually to tell us their memories and what nightclubs they remember. Yeah. In Salt Hill, you had Whispers Nightclub, which was in the Kokora. We had the Marquee Club where Keith DJed many, many years ago. You had the Oasis. The Oasis was a forerunner to what CP was really. Didn't matter, was it a Monday or a Saturday? It was full every night. A huge, huge, big scene. Now, then we had a problem with licensing. At 12 o'clock was the license on a Saturday night. So it was kind of an Irish funny anomaly in law that you couldn't open your bar on a Holy Sunday. So at midnight, you couldn't. And a place that I was in, I was involved in, we had a rather peculiar situation where people would be queuing up at 12:05 and the guards would be coming in to check to make sure the bars were closed at 12:05. And they would ignore the queue, people going in, because obviously the bar wasn't closed. But yeah, so it was the whole scene, and I mean, I'm sure people have memories of what Salt Hill was like at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night. And I remember the late, great Mick O'Malley, superintendent in Salt Hill, saying to me at one stage, he said, "Doc," he said, "I'm going to have the streets of Salt Hill cleared by 3:30 on Saturday night, a.m. I said, "Mick, you'll never do it." He never did.
Wow. But Salt Hill, it's an area that's always been pioneering on the tourism front and with the nightclub scene as well. We've seen that throughout the course of this programme this morning, whether it's been bringing the mayors in, as Mary Bennett was talking about. But it has been pioneering, and so too was true when the nightclubs moved to the rave scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, then we had a second wave of nightclubs. We had very much the 70s, 80s, a little bit more relaxed. I mean, there were nightclubs wouldn't let you in jeans or runners, dress code, all of that. Yeah. And then times changed. Times changed. We had the Castle, which was around, I think the Castle opened probably in the 1970s, had a number of different incarnations, but it became a very alternative scene at one stage. We had the Sex Kitchen on a Friday night, Tommy Byrne ran it, Disco Inferno on Sunday nights. It was very, 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 very different. And then we had the independent club operators who would rent a venue, and you could decide, tonight I want to hear alternative, I want to hear punk, I want to hear reggae, and you could pick the nightclub in Salt Hill that you wanted to go to on that night. Feet First, Club Chaos, I mean, there were so many at the time. Mm. And then I started a place myself.
The Warwick.
Absolutely, yeah. Just something different back in 1984. And it was an old hotel. See, what had happened with a lot of the hotels were the boom era of families, particularly country families, coming to Galway for after the harvest was in and staying in Salt Hill for maybe 5 days or 7 days, cheap hotels, that had dwindled. People had found foreign parts, guaranteed sunshine. So quite a number of hotels and that were looking for another income source. And the obvious one was to convert their ballrooms into nightclubs. And that was the case with the Warwick. And that kicked off very, very quiet. If every single person who claimed to have been in the Warwick on the open night was actually there, it would be a different story.
But the Warwick, you had some huge acts, big names in there.
We had, well, they weren't always big names when we had them. We did bands like Guggy from Roisin Dubh used to run a night on Thursday nights, and he found this great band. He thought that they would do well, Snow Patrol. Yeah. So we did Snow Patrol there. We did another band. I remember doing Coldplay as a support act.
Wow.
We did with so many. We did Van Morrison's 50th birthday party. We did Sinead O'Connor and the Stunning. We did New Order. Wow. Yeah, that was quite an experience. And of course, the Soul Doctors always claimed that the Warwick was their spiritual home, and they were the last band to play on the main stage in the Warwick before it all ended in 2010. The Stunning, of course, also played there. When the Stunning announced they were breaking up, we did three nights in a row the last gig of the Stunning. We announced the first gig of the Stunning, first last night, sold out, did another one. Also, when Christy Moore decided to get back on the road, his manager Paddy Doherty decided he would try him live in the Warwick and put a small ad in the advertiser, Christy Moore playing the Warwick, whatever date it was. And people ring up like, "Is it a Christy Moore tribute act?" Said, "No, it's actually Christy Moore." And he loved the Warwick. As he emerged, came back onto the scene, and he would play in the Radisson three nights a week to 750 people. He would take maybe a middle night off, like a Wednesday or a Tuesday. Paddy would ring me and say, "Doc, he wants to do the Warwick," and we would just put the word out and he would do it, you know. So it worked. We had all kinds of people who came in. I was chatting there, listening to some Kylie Minogue that we were playlisting, and it reminded me that Kylie Minogue was actually in Dublin, and she was playing in Dublin, wanted something different, and organised to come down to Galway with a couple of guys that she knew who were from Dublin, and drove down to the Warwick, and came in, paid her. Like, obviously, I was aware, very few people were aware of who she actually was. She came in, and two people actually commented and said, you know, you actually look a bit like Kylie Minogue, a little bit like, and she was like, you know. Random Sinead O'Connor would have been a regular visitor and would have performed there on various occasions.
And I mentioned pioneering with Salt Hill earlier on, and the Warwick was quite pioneering and to the front and not afraid to take chances that other places weren't willing to. And that too was true for you in terms of opening up the nightclub to those of all sexualities.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we'd made a couple of initial small changes. Like, well, the whole thing started was that I realised that people couldn't hear, there was nowhere to go to hear the music they wanted to hear. At the time, you know, it was very alternative. Bands like The Cure, that now you'd find them on every ad, using the songs. But at the time, it was different music. We had Owen Foyle at the Motion Club. We had Derek Murray doing soul music on a Wednesday night. But it was just an outlet where you could hear different types of music. People were quite shocked initially because the first thing we did was we stopped slow sets. Slow sets were a big thing. Slow sets were a big thing, John, before your time. Yeah, the Oasis, Henry Greeley, they all had a slow set. And we had Big G over in the Beach Hotel who would announce his slow set. The meeting season is open. So we stopped the slow sets. We went alternative, and yes, there was no real gay scene, no gay nightclubs, no gay bars in Galway, and we started with Nuala Ward. I remember Nuala Ward coming out to me to book a gay disco, and at the time, if people were booking anything that was different, they said, "Oh, we'll just call it a 21st, we'll call it something else." And I said, "No, you won't." I said, "You advertise it what it is, and we support you fully." And we had a great relationship with the gay community all over Galway, and ran many nights successfully for many years. And then, of course, we also got very involved with the Arts Festival. Mm. You didn't have the same venues and bigger venues that you have now. It was a much, much different scene. But Ollie Jennings, Fergal McGrath, John Crumlish, like everybody involved in the Arts Festival had a prior association before we started doing concerts there. And that helped. Mm. That helped the Arts Festival, and it helped us hugely in the work.
Finally, Doc, what's your lasting and I suppose most special memory of Salt Hill?
Well, here's a funny one. We were chatting earlier, John. I said, you know, what was the funny things? I touched earlier how the whole Garda thing was very different. Licensing laws are different. But it did happen one night where I got a phone call from the guards to tell me to run late. There was a misadventure with a rally crowd further up Salt Hill, and the guards were out in force, and there was huge numbers in Salt Hill. And Garda New rang me and he said, "Doc, don't close, because you'll be releasing 1,000 people more onto the streets. Would you just keep running and I said, "Well, if I keep the music going, I'd have to keep the bar open." He says, "I don't care what you do, just don't let anyone else out on the street." Which, you know, because out on the street, remember that when the night was finished in Salt Hill, that wasn't the end of the night. There was always the Last Chance Cafe, there was the Beefeaters, the early days you had the Wimpy, Captain Shields, Salt and Pepper, my good friend Carolyn Shields, who would have been great if we had Carolyn on this morning with stories, but I know Captain's covering all that ground today. Always famous for their pineapple burger. I always give a shout out to the pineapple burger. Salt and Pepper. But it was a whole, like, people would, that was the whole thing, people would be around till 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. It was different times, but
different times indeed, but everything changes.
Definitely. Dermot O'Connor, Doc, thank you for joining us on Community Matters.
Thanks, John.
Well, if that isn't Mr. Salt Hill, I don't know what is. Thanks indeed for Doc for all that insight. And I think he plugged nearly every place in Salt Hill. Did you, Doc? No, I think most of them. He covered most of them anyway. So, no, fair play to you, Doc. And thanks for all your help on the programme throughout the morning. And it's not over yet. We're still with you until 12 noon. And coming up in the sports section after news, we'll have David Burke of Salt Hill Knocklacarra, Christian Short of Galway Bay Rugby Club, and also Ollie Daniels of Salt Hill Devon. So, we're looking forward to having a chat of all things sport with the three lads. We'll have music coming from the wonderful, indeed, Robbie Monaghan, who was on The X Factor a few years back, and he sang with Nicole Scherzinger as well. He's a new single out as well, so we'll have loads of music for him. And he has a great association with this pub as well, because when Ed Sheeran was filming his Galway Girl song here, Robbie was outside and he went
onto CNN, TMZ, the whole works for his performance outside the bar as well. I'll be wrapping up the day then with Martin Cleary, who is the events controller in Pearce Stadium. He has a lot of history and memories from events that happened in Pearce Stadium throughout the years. We have our Frank O'Connor from O'Connor's Bar here to talk about the pub and how they set it up and all the memories they have. And also Penny Cahill. She has a remarkable story about how she saved the church in Salt Hill from catching fire. So all that plus lots more coming up between now and 12 midday. If you want to get a text and WhatsApp into us, you can do on our number. That's 086 38 33 553. That is our text and WhatsApp number. Phone Fiona on reception on 091 770 077, and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. There are some lovely texts and WhatsApps coming into us from throughout the morning, and I'll just bring a few more of them to you as we go. And it says, "Hi, good luck to all in O'Connor's. I had my first photo taken there with my husband, whom I met in Sea Point. Still with him after 50 years. It was one of the bars to go to. The late Christie played there then." This comes in from Maureen. And also another listener says, "There was the Ocean Wave Hotel nightclub, which was owned by my late mother and father-in-law, John and Mary Malarkey. That was in the mid-70s. It's where the Ocean Towers are now." And they keep coming in this morning. Lots of memories being jogged. And indeed, thanks to all our guests from throughout the morning. Tom Kenny with a wonderful history, Mary Bennett, and much others as well, including Doc there, that we heard about all the nightclub scene as well. So if you do want to get your texts and your memories into us and say hello to anyone, do so straight away. 086 38 33 553. That is our text and WhatsApp number. Phone Fiona on reception, 091 770 077, and email comments at goabayfm.ie. Now, next up is the news and the debt notices, and we'll have JobSpot the far side of that, as well as sport. And we'll be back with more stories all the way from O'Connor's Bar here in Salt Hill for our Community Matters programme. A very good morning to you. We're with you right through until 12 midday.